Welcome to Off the Ball's post-match podcast, coming to you from Croke Park. An empty Croke Park at this stage. We're battling with the noise of a tractor that's spreading seeds on the pitch ahead of next week's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final between Waterford and Galway. Obviously, the minor final is on as well. Galway taking on Cork in that one. The Seagulls, nowhere to be heard. They're normally swooping in over the pitch at this stage. Maybe the tractor is frightening them off. Anyway, we're going to hear from Chrissy McCaig and Anthony Moyles, who provided some analysis of today's game between Tyrone and Dublin and yesterday's replay between Mayo and Kerry. The winners, Mayo and Dublin. Obviously, Dublin cruising through today, I think you'd have to say, 217 to 11 points. We're going to hear from Jim Gavin, their manager, and Mickey Hart, the Tyrone boss, who does want to stay on. This was Sean Kavanagh's last ever game as a Tyrone player in Croke Park. He has confirmed what he has been saying all year. And afterwards, I caught up with him for a chat. We spoke about his time with Tyrone and also how phenomenal the Dubs are. As always, our GA coverage on News Talk is brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. As well as Dublin and Tyrone, by the way, we're going to hear from Mayo and Kerry yesterday. Nathan, a proud Mayo man, caught up with Andy Moran and Stephen Rochford, who are now preparing for an All-Ireland final against the Dubs. It is with the Dubs we start, though, and their manager, Jim Gavin, following today's 2-17 to 11 points win over Tyrone. Jim Gavin, Dublin manager. A tweet caught my eye from Barry Cahill, former Dublin player. He said, "Not sure how many gears this Dublin team have. Phenomenal performance, and again, subs all made a decent impact to some squad." I think he summed it up nicely, hasn't he?
Oisín, it's all about the collective performance, and for us, it's trying to maintain a standard through the expanse of the game. I think those players who came on, you know, contributed to the team performance. And there's some players there that didn't play, and that will be, you know, will be disappointed. And some players didn't even travel on the team bus will be disappointed. So, but I know, you know, we'll turn up next week. We meet again and prepare for an All-Ireland final. And those players will be very focused and very determined collectively to their best for Dublin.
I guess Tyrone's game plan was to sit deep, try and soak up the pressure and hit you on the break. So how helpful was it to get a goal, and a phenomenal goal at that, so early in the game to open them up a bit?
Yeah, it helps, that's for sure. I think it helps. But, you know, we knew at any stage that Tyrone could counter-attack hard, and they've been prolific in the Ulster Championship, and massive scores against, big scores against Armagh. So we knew if we gave them any space that they could punish us, and you saw their little glimpses of it during the game. So we had to be very pointed today, and thought the work was excellent from the Dublin players.
And finally, it's Mayo in the final, and you've had some belters against Mayo in the last couple of years. Should be a great game of football.
Yeah, All-Ireland fans are always great games. You know, I haven't really seen much of them since we played them in the would have been March, I think, in the National Football League. So that's been many months, and both teams have changed dramatically since then. So, but listen, you know, we turned up last year in All-Ireland final, didn't perform. But be fortunate to come away with the cup in the end, and you know, so all the work kind of rests with us now for 3 weeks.
Well,
thanks, Oisín. Cheers.
Mickey Hart, Tyrone manager. Look, Dublin played well today, but I think it's maybe fair to say that you didn't get the best out of yourselves. It never really happened for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they turned in a high class performance, and I suppose it all really came to life for them whenever they scored the goal. Before that, I think it was going to be a sort of a face-off to a degree, that we would have held them out. They would have got some scores. We'd have got some scores. I would have felt if they hadn't scored the goal, it might have changed the complexion of the game. I felt we could still have been in the game at half-time, and then it might have been a different second half altogether. But because they got that goal, then they rattled off a few more points, and we were chasing the game big time.
I know in retrospect, if you lose a game, the game plan maybe looks wrong, but was it to draw them in, turn them over, and break up the park? And if so, why did that not quite happen?
Well, it didn't happen because of the ferocity of their tackling. We did turn them over a number of times when they were trying to break through for scores, and we broke out. But again, at the vital moment, they had enough people back and enough pressure on to turn the ball over. And when you turn the ball over, when you're counter-attacking like that, you're very vulnerable. And maybe that's exactly what happened for the goal. We were absolutely vulnerable because we were going forward expecting to be finishing the other side, and was turned over, and then Young O'Callaghan was free, and he certainly finished with aplomb.
Did that kind of sum up the day for you, the way he kind of got through, even though there was heavy numbers back there?
There wasn't heavy numbers at the time he was there. He was facing a one-to-one. Yeah. Because we had gone forward, because we turned the ball over, we were on the offensive, and when he came up, he had only to face Ronan McNamee, and he had to face him while he had momentum and Ronan was kind of static. Yeah. So that's probably why it happened. If we had all the artillery back, then he wouldn't have gone through the middle and scored a goal.
Yeah. You've told my colleague Damien Lawler on Sky that
you want to stay on board, you want to stay on as Tyrone manager. Do you think you'll have to convince the county board, or how will you, I'll use the term sell it, it's probably the wrong term to use, but how will you sell it to them? What will you say to them about developing this team and bringing them on, and that you're still the man?
Oh, well, I don't know what I'd have to say. I'm making it clear that I want to work on with this team, and if they in their wisdom think that I'm not good enough or not right for that, well, then so they can make that decision. But I feel that I am, and I feel that I have a lot to offer them.
Do you still think you kind of have the squad, have the players, have the game planned, and you can kind of evolve it, bring it on? I appreciate this is very raw, but do you still think you have all those things?
Absolutely. Why would in one game change your mind in that? I believe that all year. I believe this last couple of years. So I don't think one result will change all of that. If that was the way you were easy to be swung as much as that, then you wouldn't really be very firm in your convictions.
Just one more. Sean Kavanagh, he has said all year this is his last year with Tyrone. If he is to retire, what a servant he has been, what a player he is, what a man he is.
Absolutely. He's been the best we've known in many, many years, and he has so many accolades to prove that. We feel it's a shame that he didn't finish his game at the very pinnacle of this year's activity. But I suppose to get back to Croke Park again from what happened to him last year, to lead us out in an All-Ireland semi-final, it's a nice enough way for him to finish his career. We would love to have finished it on the third Sunday in September, but so be it. He has nothing to regret. He's been a super player and a super representative for our county.
He finishes with an Ulster title as well, which isn't too bad. Mickey, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Off the Ball's post-match podcast coming to you from Croke Park in the aftermath of Tyrone's 217-11 points defeat to Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. We're also, by the way, going to hear from the Mayo camp following yesterday's win over Kerry, and we'll get analysis from Chrissy McCaig of Derry. He was down to watch their Miners beat Dublin, actually. Also, Anthony Moyles, who is speaking to Joe Malloy. Moyles, part of our Off the Ball on-air team today. Before we hear from all of them, let's hear from, I think it's fair to say, he's a bit of a legend, Sean Kavanagh, who played his last game ever for Tyrone and Croke Park today. He has confirmed what he has been saying all year, that this is his last season for Tyrone. He has backed Mickey Hart to remain on, by the way. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But after the game, I put it to him that while it's a disappointing ending, it has been quite a journey that has seen him win three All-Ireland titles.
I've been preparing myself probably for this moment for at least a year at this point. And it's easier to take this year than last year, because we've come up against an incredible sports team, an incredible bunch of athletes, bunch of players. And whilst last year we felt we've left something behind us, this year we know we were just beaten by such a superior team. And I told the Dublin players that on the way off the pitch. Say they're probably the greatest team I've ever played against. They're possibly the greatest ever team to have played Gaelic football. And we've given everything we possibly can. We felt we could put up more of a resistance than what we did, but that's sport. Sport sometimes is that just a thing to... It shocks you at times, and probably we were shocked 10, 15 minutes into that game and we struggled to recover. But you have to accept that you're beaten by a greater team at times, and today was one of those days.
You've been part of Tyrone teams that have set a standard. You've come up against phenomenal sides. What's the difference between this Dublin team and the rest?
I believe that we were as strong and as powerful, and you know, I've seen the strength and the tenacity of what the work we have done for the past 9, 10, 11 months, and I can honestly say no stone has been left unturned in any way. First 15, 20 minutes, they were gliding past us with ease. Every single one of their players have a phenomenal athleticism and power to break tackles and just to go past men, and they obviously had homework done and they're able to shut us out in so many ways. But I know it's simplistic, but their pace and power is incredible. It's just way above where any other team in Ireland are at the moment. So you have to bow to that superiority.
Do you think the general public get that? Because I suppose looking at the match today, I heard people shout, you know, where's the marking, get in a tackle, move the ball quicker. Very easy to shout that from the stand, very easy to think it from the press box, very, very difficult to do out there.
Yeah, look, and they have the full package, in that they obviously have all the homework done, the stats. They have such a huge support mechanism. You can see that every one of their players are extremely well drilled in exactly what they need to be doing, and they have the skills and the power and the energy to execute everything. So, yeah, look, it's sad that this group of Tyrone players just aren't able to reach the heights that I felt and I hoped that we would be able to reach. But you just have to sometimes hold your hands up and go, Dublin are an incredible team, and I told most of their players out in the pitch afterwards they are that, and good luck to Mayo, but a Dublin player like that, I don't think any team in Ireland will touch them.
What about you? Because obviously this was your last time playing for Tyrone. You're leaving with three All-Irelands, you're leaving with All-Stars, you're leaving with Player of the Year prizes, you're leaving with lifelong friends. I know it's quite raw now, but do you take a lot of consolation in that? Because there's a lot of people have given a lot to the game who don't have those prizes. Tony Brown spoke about it this week, the ex-Waterford hurler, that every week it haunts him that he doesn't have an All-Ireland medal. You have three, so does that make your retirement that bit easier? Does that make it not as difficult to take?
Okay, look, I've seen some amazing players that I played alongside in international rules in railway cups, and I've often looked to them and thought, it's sport can be so cruel because you're such an amazing player and you deserve so much more success, but because you're from a county that's not competing at the top end of the game, you know, your talents don't always get to be displayed. I've been just incredibly fortunate that through the 2000s in particular, I played for a team that was at the top of the sport, and I've had some ridiculously good memories from that. So yeah, look, every day I'm thankful for that. I'm clever enough to know that I've had an amazing journey, and I've played for and against some fantastic individuals, and I cherish that for the rest of my life.
We hear from Gaelic footballers in the modern climate, it's quite hard, it can be quite difficult. Have you enjoyed the last couple of years, or how would you look at it?
I can honestly say, and I've said this before, I've enjoyed every minute, every second of training in the gym. It's been incredibly difficult at times. I'm looking forward to having a bit more time with my family, a bit more holidays, a bit more normality to my life. But I've been that type of person that I've just given everything I possibly can to the cause of Tyrone Gaelic football. And I've told the lads in there that I'd be the biggest supporter of Tyrone. And I hope it'll be tough looking on, but I know I look on with pride to say I've played my part, just like some other fantastic individuals have done before me. And I'll always be proud of what I've been lucky enough to achieve and some of the players that I played with for Tyrone.
It might be a question for a bit down the road, but if I was to ask you now, what would you like to see change for GAA players, for inter-county players especially, what would it be? Because there's no one better placed to give advice on this than you.
I suppose it's difficult because the game has gone to a level, and I don't understand how Dublin are so far ahead, because in Tyrone we have given everything, and I mean everything, in the gym, on the pitch. We have literally hurt our bodies every single night we've gone out for 9, 10, 11 months, and that still isn't good enough. And I believe we have some incredibly skilled players. I don't know how the game can go to any more time commitment for players. It's incredibly hard for players, and I just don't know where the game goes. I don't know how more professional it can become. Obviously Dublin are way, way ahead of it, and I have no idea how they're able to do it, because to try and do a 40-hour a week job and to just be blown away by another team who, and maybe they aren't, maybe doing 40-hour a week jobs all similar to what other counties are, but maybe that's one of the reasons that they're just so far ahead. The support they obviously have, and it must be incredible, because in Tyrone we've done everything we possibly can, and we've sacrificed so much over the last 9, 10, 11 months, and there's an awful lot of people who don't even get game time who do the same, and it's really difficult to take that.
How pleased are you that your legacy, and one of them is that as much as the game has changed, as much as it's evolved for better or worse, you have shown that if you can catch and kill, and if you can catch and kick and execute all the basics, there is room for you on a GAA pitch.
Okay, look, the game has changed so much. It's the pace and the power and the energy that Dublin has them at that such a high level. So it's not all about the catching and the kicking and the execution of skills anymore. And I say I've been blown away by how far they're ahead of us, because I believe that we were up there with the top athletes in Ireland. I don't know how far they're ahead. It's just left me speechless.
And just before I let you go, if the county board were to call you and say, what do you think about Mickey staying on, would you go for it? What would your advice to them be? What would you say?
Well, if someone had asked me last night, I would have laughed them out the gate and said, are you mad? Because Mickey has built a new team. The spirit amongst this team is the best spirit that I've ever seen. So he's got the backing of every player, and on another day, if things had been going different, we may have been looking into an All-Ireland final now. So I don't see any reason why he would walk away from the game if he still has that appetite and fire, and knowing Mickey Hart, he does.
Just before I let you go, is there any outstanding memory from your career that you always think of first, that you kind of wake up thinking about in the morning, it makes you smile, that, you know, it just kind of pops into your head midway through a day?
Okay, look, I suppose I was blessed in my second year playing Gaelic football at inter-county level. I was able to climb those steps on a really special day where those two Ulster teams went toe-to-toe, and I soldiered with some amazing players, the Canavans, the Cormac McAnallens, but I was spoiled very early in my career, but I'll forever take those memories, and I've been incredibly lucky.
Sean, I don't think you appreciate how much us in the media love you, because A, you're a great player, and B, you always talk win, lose, draw, regardless of what's going on, and I think fans appreciate that because they want an insight, they want to get to know the players, they want to hear from ye. And I think it's just such a great thing that you've always been willing to talk. I know it seems like a small thing, I know it's unimportant in the life cycle of a Gaelic footballer, but from the fans, from the media, from everyone who's ever dealt with you, enjoy inter-county retirement, but not retirement from football. And listen, thanks for everything. I think I speak especially for Tyrone fans when I say that. And you're a phenomenon, a great guy, and we just really appreciate our time seeing you on the football pitch.
Look, the pleasure's been all mine. I've been the one that has reaped so much from it, and I'm just delighted now I can take a breath and enjoy a bit of time off. And I'll be his biggest supporter of GAA. It's a game I've always loved, and I will always love until I'm no longer here. And I've just been so blessed and lucky in my life, and I hope that continues.
Well, let the bidding war between the Sunday game and Sky Sports commence for Sean Kavanagh's services. Sean, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Off the Ball's post-match podcast, and that was Sean Kavanagh, now formerly of Tyrone. He has confirmed his inter-county retirement. All our GAA coverage on News Talk brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. A lot more to come during the week on Off the Ball ahead of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final between Galway and Waterford, including a special podcast later in the week. We're going to hear from both camps. And also, don't forget, Off the Ball are live from Galway on Thursday night. It's going to be a phenomenal night with some legends of the game joining them as guests. We'll keep the concentration on football. We're going to hear from Andy Moran and Stephen Rochford of Mayo a little bit later on. But before we hear from them, let's get some analysis of what happened today and yesterday in Croke Park. Chrissy McCaig of Derry to come. But first, Anthony Moyles, who has been speaking to Joe Malloy.
I mean, you would have to say Mayo and Kerry lived up to expectations, although Saturday wasn't as close maybe as some might have thought, but today really hasn't lived up to any expectations. I think it's important at this moment to tell you, you said it might be a draw pre-match several times over.
Yeah.
And it just turned out really from the first minute. I mean, I remember saying to you 5-6 minutes in, Dublin aren't far away from breaking the back of this game, and they weren't. Conor Callaghan scored an early goal brilliantly, and explain to us that first half. We'll get on to the second, but that first half, just why Dublin were so dominant, so in control.
Well, Tyrone live off, Joe, which we've seen all the way through the Ulster Championship and even against Armagh. So what they tried to hope to do is pull you into this battle in around their D. I explained to you, know, when we were chatting about it pre-match, where we were just saying that with Tiernan McCann and with Colm Kavanagh coming into the kind of the edge of the D, they patrol basically between the full-back line and the half-back line. So essentially, if anyone wants to put a long ball in, they're there to smother it out. If anyone wants to kind of run through the line, they generally come and attack you. What they cannot do, as those two guys in there, is they can't defend way out left and way out right.
Yeah.
And Dublin put their three full forwards, they either loaded up one side with two or loaded up the other side, but they kept really, really, really far out and right on, practically on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've never seen, literally, absolutely, I've never seen fellas use, you know, the people talk about the width of the pitch. Yeah. They literally used the width of the pitch.
And you said it in the first minute. I mean, it was an experience to sit up here, because within the first minute you said, oh, look at the width.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so those Tyrone defenders would never in their 5 or 6 games this year have felt so far away from each other on a pitch all season. The last 2 years, no one stretched them like that.
Correct. And when, you know, I have to say hats off to Gavin,
yeah,
and the rest of the backroom team, because, you know, I've probably bemoaned this as, because back in my day, it was essentially,
that's,
you were
one
on
one. Now.
Yeah, but you were one on one with a forward.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really that if he took you, he was inside you. You very rarely got a lot of this, you know, a man doubling up. You certainly didn't get 2 or 3, 4 men around, yeah, you. And that's what Tyrone have lived off. And essentially, their full back line played like they had bodies around, but they didn't have bodies around.
Yeah.
They were exposed.
So
they weren't tight enough.
A lot of Dublin players cutting inside their man. And having shots.
And that
just felt very unusual against Tyrone. And then the other point
And relatively easy shots too, Joe.
Yeah, you made the point as well in our radio broadcast. Not only were Tyrone being stretched so thinly, they were also standing quite often 4, 5, 6 yards off their man. It was kind of like a soft, lazy zonal half-man marking, but mostly zonal kind of a thing. I'm generally in your area, Kirill Kilkenny, but I'm not going to stop you getting the ball or make you compete for it.
Yeah, exactly. And again... That's okay if it's a situation where then a team are going to come in and come around a D, and, you know, they're going to try to find their inside men, yeah, around there, and we can get bodies, we can get a tackle. But essentially, when they stretched them, all they had to do was go around one man,
yeah,
which they did,
and there was
inevitably
a pocket of space.
Yeah, and yeah, also when they went sometimes to go around a man, if they felt the heat coming on, they would just flick a hand pass out very quickly. So you saw McCaffrey, you saw Small, you saw Cooper coming up. They'd make an incisive run from out wide.
Yeah.
If they felt the heat, they'd flick a hand pass out. And then you had the likes of Paddy Andrews coming around on the loop. And that is, like, when you're that close and when the pass is given that quick, like, unless you're basically on his boot, if you give him that yard, they're so good, they were just clipping over scores. Like, I just remember thinking about this forward line. Most teams, you get 4 out of 6, maybe 5 out of 6 who've scores. They've, every single one of them is a scorer.
Yeah.
McCarthy can kick a score.
Yeah.
Fenton can kick a score.
Yeah.
McCaffrey can kick a score. You know, do I need to go on?
No.
Like, it's just scary because, yeah, McCaffrey was coming up, raking up the field, clipping balls over the bar, should have had a goal. And then what they do off the bench. So, you know, Rochford, I think Rochford and his backroom team are deep thinkers of the game. I'm not saying that Hart isn't, but I think what they try to anticipate is, okay, well, what are a team going to do and how do we preempt that? So you talked about Saturday. You know, a brilliant move by them in the Kerry game was what they learned from the first game was that, okay, if we are going to use Aidan O'Shea in there and he can break out a bit more, that's fine. But from a defensive point of view, we're going to have to stop that little ball in front of Donnelly. So now they made it and they just put Keith Higgins in there.
Yeah.
So they completely took the power of that away and they, yeah, went, okay, that may mean that Gainey gets on the ball a bit more, which he did, but we'll certainly cut that one out. So they now have to assess this and say, okay, from a point of view, I think they'll look at that second half against Tyrone. People would say the game was done, but Tyrone definitely put more pressure on Dublin.
And it was a simple case in that second half of Tyrone defenders taking a bit more responsibility for their man, the man that was in their vicinity, and everybody stepping up 5 metres. That, closing that 5 metre gap between most Tyrone men and their men, just, it was a simple step up. It was intensity, and it pushed Dublin back a little bit.
It did.
Up the field and made them think a bit more. The other thing to mention in that first half, so while all of this was going on at one end for Tyrone, poor old Mark Bradley was up at the other end, forlorn, on his own completely for Tyrone. I mean, what a miserable day to train for 9 months for and then just be surrounded by two men, like you've Philly Cooper beating the lard out of you and you've Keane O'Sullivan sitting in front of you. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just like pointless, and ball into him wasn't great. So, like, the other thing is Tyrone never looked like a scoring threat through Bradley, and they never pressed up on Dublin kickouts, and so it was just way too comfortable for Dublin.
Yeah, like, we were here for the Armagh game and Bradley did the exact same role.
Yeah.
But Tyrone owned the ball that day. So all they needed to do was be patient and then find his little runs, put a ball in front of him, which he invariably won and either took a score himself or had those as we call them, well, I think Danny used the point of those strike runners, fellas, yeah, like Hart coming at pace, and all it was a flick pass and they're straight through.
Yeah.
There was no ability to do that today.
No.
So they had to say, okay, we need to put some more bodies in there to win that ball, because essentially, and even we saw it in the second half, they were just going side to side. They'd no one up front. They've no ability to put a long ball in. So it was, I have to say, it was a tactical masterclass by Gavin. And you have to, like, I'm a firm believer in, when you're taking on Dublin, you have to at least have two men in that inside forward line, if not three.
Yeah.
And make Cooper and these lads defend. Make them defend. Make Philly Mahan defend. Don't bring the likes of Philly McMahon out the field. And yes, you may have to give up a lot of scores. You will, but your hope is that at least you're going to get some scores too.
And Mayo will do that. Mayo won't have one man up top on his own. There were two goals. Con O'Callaghan with the first. Again, composure. Again, this guy continues to impress him. And yeah. Darren Daly. It was a move with Onangara, who came off the bench. Fist pass inside. Easy finish for Daly. The game was done at that stage. Eric Lowndes came on. Everybody thought he was Dermot Connolly. got a huge cheer. Connolly came on with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, you know, get him on the field.
Why not get him on with 15 minutes to go, do you think?
I don't know. It's probably a strange enough move, you know, even to bring him on then at all. Bernard didn't come on, so I'm sure Bernard might be a little bit upset about that, but yeah. It was a massive roar. Maybe he just wanted to say, listen, let's get him out onto the field. The game was most definitely done and dusted at that stage. McManaman made an impact now, I have to say, yeah, when he came on. He's not a guy when you're starting to feel gas as a Tyrone full backline, yeah, and you've exposed and gone a bit more one-on-one. You see him coming on because he cracked one off the crossbar. A brilliant effort.
Yeah. Jack McCarthy should have had a goal as well. He played in wide. Yeah. It was 1-1. Yeah. Like, this could have been...
They could have easily had four goals.
Embarrassing stuff, yeah.
But going back to Callaghan, he is a superb asset to that forward line, because what he does is something that they lost when they had Kilkenny at 11. Kilkenny didn't really play the 11 role in a traditional 11 role. He used to come out and get a lot of ball and get a lot of touches, but he wasn't really affecting the six.
Yeah.
O'Callaghan affects the six big time, like, yeah, because he gets most of the ball as he's turning and heading towards goal. He has no problem running the channels left and right of centre half forward, and he is absolutely ruthless. And he's a big man. He works hard, and he's just really grown into that role. He's a serious player for a man of his age.
So we have Dublin in an All-Ireland final, and they haven't had a tough game yet.
Yeah,
it was meant to be a tough game, so maybe that just Dublin last year felt they peaked too early, and this year they came back to training a bit later and they were beaten in the league final. Obviously they weren't on top of the ground at that stage, and they took their team holiday a bit later in the year. Everything geared up for September. I mean, they look like a well-oiled machine there. Like, McCaffrey just looks like he could run forever at the moment.
Yeah.
So many of them do. Keno Sullivan makes everything look so easy. But still, at the back of them, at their mind, they must be thinking, it would have been nice to get into fifth gear.
Yeah, and I think they've... I remember I just looked at Gavin, and Gavin was kind of sitting on the sideline, like, with his head down, you know, and I kind of remarked to you, said, you know, you must be thinking, this is an easy gig.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I bet you it must have crossed his mind, what's he having for dinner tonight?
Yeah. Well, I'd say if you were to put a heart monitor on the guy, did it go above,
no,
you know, watching Coronation Street on a Tuesday night?
This was done after 12 minutes, you know. At 20 minutes, I remember, it was Dublin 11 points, Tyrone 4. And I said to you, I wouldn't bet on Tyrone hitting 12 points.
Yeah.
Now, it turned out that was an amazing shout. They got 11. But, you know, it had that feel early on.
It was
20 minutes
shout.
In, 4 points.
It was.
And it was
much better than my shout.
Of a draw, yeah. No,
yeah.
That, in hindsight, in hindsight, that doesn't look good.
Okay. Well, listen, you guys are getting me on. Would it have paid any good for listeners to me to come on and say Dublin will win this by about 13 points? The game will be done after 20 minutes, and you can head off.
Yeah.
Because
we had commentary at Liverpool,
that's
Arsenal.
True.
I mean, you talking this up sent people to RTE. What are you doing?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
No, none of us expected this level of annihilation, really.
I didn't, because I really thought, like, again, Gavin's essentially his ability, and, you know, you go back to rugby parlance of management teams and everything else, it's all about preparation, and
right.
I have to say, he got the strategy absolutely nailed down.
Yeah.
Like, Colm Cavan at one stage, as we've all seen, himself and McCann in there, they're usually coming out, doubling up on guys. There's that infamous picture of Tyrone fellas around a man on the ground, a Kerry man or whoever it is, a Mayo man, a Dublin man, and they're getting the crowd behind them. They never got a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Like, he took all of their power completely away from them in one fell swoop.
I can't wait to see what him and Rochford do to each other this time around. So they've two games to look back on from last year. A lot of video to look at. Like, I mean, straight away the game's going to be completely different. Mayo are the best team in the country to press up on opposition kickouts. So that's a completely different afternoon for Cluxton and that defence, and a completely different prep, because they knew Tyrone probably wouldn't, and were delighted that Tyrone didn't. So
and in saying that,
Mayo pressing up. Yeah, go on.
The first four kickouts of the second half, Dublin lost three.
Because Tyrone actually pressed up. So there you go. So that's a completely different feel to the game. You know, instead of Dublin building up and getting to the halfway line without any pressure, as you said, there won't be just one Mayo forward in the inside forward line. So just on a host of levels, it'll be completely different. Like, Mayo have a real chance in this All-Ireland final. Huge chance.
Yeah, huge chance. And they're battle-hardened now, whereas Dublin aren't.
Yeah.
They've come through tight scrapes. They've had to ask themselves some questions. Dublin haven't. Dublin are still Dublin, and, you know, they've everything that brings. But it does make a difference. It just does make a difference that when you've had those games... Now, of course, what will happen is if Mayo end up getting a 10-point beating, people will say, they had too many games and they were out on their feet.
Yeah.
But they have a three-week break now. It'll all be about how Rochford manages that three-week break. He has to do something that massively changes and alters and looks to take Dublin's strength away. Now, that is a very difficult thing to do. But the first thing you have to do, in my mind, is push up. Well, Cluxton is the big one for me. He's the big one. He's the platform for so much.
Yeah.
So you have to say to themselves, which they did yesterday with Kerry.
Yeah.
Like, a Kerry goalkeeper put the ball out over his own end line. That's the first time that's ever been done. That comes from just pure pressure.
Mm.
So, you know, and you're not saying Kerry have a bad midfield or got bad guys around the field who can collect passes. So it is a situation where they are going to do that. They're going to massively push up. And they say, right, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us from your own 21, 30-metre line.
Yeah.
Not up at our 21 or 30-metre line, which is basically what Tyrone did.
I don't agree with this letting the team have the ball from kickouts.
I think it's psychologically very damaging. If you're used with, which Tyrone are, they're very much used with, and then they say, well, we'll corral you and we'll take it back off you, and then we'll break because we suck you in.
Yeah.
But they never suck Dublin in at all once.
No. When it becomes apparent that you're not stopping Dublin picking off some scores, then actually just giving them the ball adds to the sense of inevitability about the whole result.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So, but Mayo won't do that.
No.
Mayo will be zonal. They'll be man-marked on certain situations, but they have a lot of big, big bodies out there. They have a lot of fellas who are well able to attack the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the game, I think, that Mayo have been angling at all year, and this is the one. And it's the one thing that Mayo have now, is what will they do with O'Shea, for example? I know we're back to that, but Gavin has not got a clue now what Rochford will do with O'Shea.
Yeah.
Like, will he play him 14? Will he play him 11? Will he play him midfield? Will he play him at full back? Like, what will he do? Where will he rotate him? Who will he put him on? So Rochford's in a situation, I think, that he's got a few more aces up as regards trying to put some X's on Dublin players, because he'll have to. But also, they have an ability to break from the half back line that not many teams have.
Yeah.
And when they go, they go. So Higgins, you know, Keegan, Colin Boyle, and I think they've even more now, because they've a bit more up front than they had even last year.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. I mean, we'll have 3 weeks to talk about that game. So before we let you go, in lovely sunshine here at Croke Park, by the way, it's just beautiful seeing shadows on the pitch, but the sun is still out and there's still a bit of heat in it as we get to close to 6 o'clock in the evening. For Tyrone, this is very, very demoralising. Sean Kavanagh got a lovely send-off, taken off during the game, and then various Dublin players, Stephen Cluxton, Paul Flynn, others who've been around with Kavanagh for a long time, went up and had a few words with him at full-time, probably his last day. But for Tyrone at large, very, very demoralising. All the talk of progress in the last 24 months has been put into stark relief. Suddenly they see just how far away they are from things. That'd be a tough one for Mickey Hart to go back and round the wagons and say, no, look, we're closer than today might suggest. But that'd be a long winter up in Tyrone.
Yeah, it will, but you know, I slightly disagree with you in the sense of they got themselves to the party. They come up against the best team in the country at the moment. They got it wrong from a tactical point of view. Absolutely got it wrong. So I think what he has done is he's gone on a bit of a journey whereby he got himself completely set defensively.
Yeah.
And then he's tried to expand that, as in, you know, having his runners and getting a few more scores, as we discussed before the game.
Yeah.
You know, talking about these guys who can step up. his main guys just could not get free today. They couldn't get free from the shackles, you know. So again, Gavin isn't well known for trying to take guys out and put man markers on, but he did it today. He took Philly McMahon out from corner back and said to him, okay, you're going absolutely everywhere Matty Donnelly goes.
Yeah.
And he did the same with John Small with Hart. So he knew these are my main threats, and where the lesser lights really needed to step up, they couldn't. Even in that first half, there was a lot of bad wides. Second half, some bad wides. So, but Dublin have an ability where the lesser lights stand up all the time.
Yes.
You know, so
there are no lesser lights in that.
Yeah, exactly. Who are the main men? Who are the lesser lights? There's not. So he'll have to go back, and I think he will. He may have to just slightly change things, because the Bradley thing, I think, in there on his own, you have to definitely have 60% of, or, you know, you have to have the majority of possession, I would assume, to play him in that position. And when it comes up against a machine like Dublin, you realise how defunct that is. You know, that you have to have bodies in the forward line, and when he's your only body in there, it makes it very, very difficult.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your company, Anthony Moyles.
No bother at all, Joe.
Off the Ball's post-match podcast. We're in Croke Park with Chrissy McCaig of Derry just after the full-time whistle. Dublin 2-17, Tyrone 11 points, and Tyrone never really raised a gallop in this game. Chrissy, we could see what they were trying to do. Kind of lie back, turn Dublin over and go on the counter-attack, but it just never worked, did it?
Well, Dublin got a very good start, and they were very, very clinical at the start of the game, but, you know, that really was an unbelievable Dublin performance. And judging by that, they're maybe one of the best teams that's ever graced the Gaelic football field, because that was just a masterclass.
We'll get back to Dublin in just a second, because they're the story of this game. They may well be the story of the championship again. Mayo will have something to say about that. But did Mickey Hart get it wrong for Tyrone today?
Well, I don't think you can say that he got it wrong. I mean, people are going to say that after a defeat like that, but the system of play and the way they played in this year's championship has served them very well. Not only have they been solid at the back, but they've also posted a lot of big scores themselves. But I mean, Dublin and Croke Park are just a different animal. Their intensity in the tackle, how well they are set up, both going forward and actually going back, and they just look to be in control from start to finish in that game, and they just really are an incredible team.
Con O'Callaghan is keeping Dermot Connolly out of this team at the moment. What a display he had today. What a goal he got in the fifth minute. From that moment onwards, Dublin never looked back.
He's just an unbelievable athlete, Con O'Callaghan, football, hurling, an incredible talent. But, I mean, you look at the people Dublin take off the bench, it's scary. But you see how hard they work. There's no egos or there's no agendas. They buy into that system of play and they work so hard. I mean, Paul Mannion in the first half ran back 50, 60 yards and turned the ball over on three different occasions. So when you see a corner forward doing them kind of things, you know what kind of ethos is in the group. And that's what makes Dublin so special, is their work rate matches their talent, which is just awesome.
What about Mayo in the final? Mayo, I suppose, are set up ideally to take on this Dublin team. If anyone can take them on, I guess it is Mayo, the way they play, that hard-running style.
Exactly. If there's one team that can play Dublin well, it's Mayo. Athletically and physically, they're able to match Dublin, which is I'd say they're the only team currently in the country that can actually do that. They're primed to win in Ireland, but I mean, they've been the nearly team for a while. But I think this year, they're as well primed as any other team, or as they've ever been. But in saying that, Dublin look better this year than ever too. So it will be great to see Mayo get over the line. I think they deserve it, but they have to earn it against an unbelievable Dublin team.
Did you get a look at Mayo and Kerry yesterday?
I did, yeah. Mayo were worth their one, and I think they've improved under Rochford. And as I say, this year they seem better primed than ever.
Are they more clinical? Was that the difference yesterday?
I think they're a little bit more clinical, but I think at the back they're a lot more ruthless. You've seen yesterday, Kerry were going to need a goal to get back in that game, but they just weren't going to let them get a goal. Something that hasn't been evident in Mayo's play the last number of years is they've been a little bit suspect at the back. They're a lot more gritty now, and if they can keep out the goals against Dublin, they have a really good chance.
Listen, I won't ask you for a prediction for that game because it's too far away yet. I do want to ask you, just before I let you go, about the hurling, because you're a hurling man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you're very
yeah.
much from a hurling area. That'll be an interesting final next week, Waterford and Galway.
It will be. Galway have been very, very potent this year up front, post some massive scores. Waterford play a more regimental defensive system, so it's a contrast of styles, and teams that play contrast of styles often sets up for a very intriguing match. Personally, I think Galway are going to win it because they have too much firepower. They can score.
Do you think Waterford could shut them down, though?
I think Waterford have as good a chance as anybody shutting them down. But when you have a range of scores to get there, a defensive system is very difficult to actually incorporate. So I think Galway are going to win it, but you wouldn't begrudge either team winning, would you?
Well, certainly not being a Waterford man. I think you can guess who I want to. Now, Chrissy McKay, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Off the Ball's post-match podcast here in Croke Park.
Thank you very much.
Chrissy McKay is just as good a hurler as he is a footballer. I imagine any of the top inter-county sides would be glad to have him. He could move to Kilkenny and probably have a shout of getting into their squad. Tipperary, Galway, Waterford, anywhere he chose, Dublin. Anyway, that's today. That's Tyrone against Dublin. And also, I suppose he spoke about the hurling as well, Waterford and Galway. And Mayo against Kerry and Mayo against Dublin in the upcoming All-Ireland football final. Let's hear from the Mayo camp. After yesterday's win over Kerry, Andy Moran and Stephen Rochford spoke to a very happy Mayo man, Nathan Murphy. We'll start with Andy.
This is a pretty special place to be, standing under the Hogan stand, knowing you're going to be back playing in an All-Ireland final again. And from a Mayo point of view, maybe a less dramatic afternoon than we're used to.
Yeah, I'd say my wife would say the same thing. The drama the last couple of weeks, the replays, the extra times and all that. But today was a really good day for Mayo. It's the first time I think we've bet Kerry in the championship since 97. So any time you beat the mighty Kerry and beat some of them guys in the other dressing room, the talent they have, it's a great day. So today's no different.
I know you like to get yourselves into a bit of a bubble and ignore what's been said on the radio, what's been written in the papers, but it's been impossible to ignore, I'm sure, the reaction to putting Aidan O'Shea and Kieran Donaghy last week and the questions that were there of management. Were you totally immune to that during the week?
To be honest, it was 6 days. We didn't have time. That is the truth. And it's not something that we looked into. And to be honest, it's not really an issue.
Tactically, there didn't seem to be a massive change from last week. So clearly, over those 6 days, there was a quiet satisfaction with how you'd performed last week and that actually you didn't need to change things massively.
Yeah, I think Aidan is a really good guy, like, really, to be honest with you. And he's willing to sacrifice for himself, for the team, wherever he's put, be it be full forward, centre forward, midfielder, full back. And he's a really talented player. I think he probably learned from last week. And so it just went well. And Lee did the same for us up at centre forward, did a really good job for us, kept their lines busy, and away he went.
Yeah, they did change. They had an extra defender in there, but still it was relentless for Mayo, that running game through the middle again and again. It was a nice little battle with yourself and Ty Genright, which over the course of the two games, I think you definitely got the better of them. Your own form this season has just been exceptional, from maybe where you were a couple of years ago, where you're battling for your place in the team. How much are you enjoying this?
I'm just enjoying being healthy. You mentioned opening the gym there. It's been a massive benefit to me, getting me out of the car. I suppose I was a sales rep there for a couple of years, and once I hurt the cruciate, it was just too hard to get back. So came back in 2015, a different player, and got my place back in the team and held it. So it's been a good couple of years, you know.
It's what, your sixth All-Ireland final at this stage?
Yeah, so they keep telling me. So is that including replays or just, is just straight? It probably is, but I suppose we did a bit of history today, so yeah. It's time now to, you know, in 3 weeks' time maybe to do something different, you know.
There's those of us in Mayo who may like to lose the run of ourselves around these games. Yeah. The players at this stage, with all the experience, when you think back to the first All-Ireland final, is it a very different dressing room in there now compared to the first All-Ireland you were involved in terms of the focus? And maybe it's not about the occasion anymore, it's literally just about getting over that line somehow.
Yeah, I think it has to be a bit more than that, Nathan, to be honest with you. There has to be a level of performance, a level of what you're doing for the team and stuff like that. And if it's just about getting over the line, you get desperate. To me, this team is just, I suppose we think a bit differently. It's about just getting our performance right. Stephen has always really emphasised, just if we get our performance right, we do our jobs, we win the games. And coming into the All-Ireland final, it can't be no different. I'm sure it's the same for Galway and Waterford preparing for the All-Ireland final. You know, it's just they're going to go through their processes and hopefully, Joe, whoever is the better team of the day will win it.
Enjoy the build-up. Well done.
Thanks, Anthony. Cheers.
Well, Stephen, this is a pretty nice spot for you to be in now, preparing for an All-Ireland final again. How much satisfaction do you take from the way the side went out and performed today?
I know, quite satisfied because we came up here knowing that Kerry would certainly be better than they were the last day. We knew we needed to be better, so to nudge across the line, slightly ahead of, you know, the form team in the this year's National League and Munster champions. You know, that's, I suppose that's satisfying, but it's only part of a job done.
I don't know how much of the reaction you saw or heard to the decision to put Aidan O'Shea and Kieran Donaghy last week. It seemed to go from at the start of the week that it wasn't the right option to, as the week went on, to, well, actually, maybe when you look at it overall, it wasn't the worst decision. You went with it again today. You obviously felt that it was the right decision last week.
Yeah, like, you know, just want to be careful in my language because I don't want to upset people or all the experts. You know, we don't pick the team, you know, to seek approval or disapproval from journalists or commentators or analysts. You know, they're there to give an opinion, no more than ours, and we would feel that ours is probably a little bit more educated on the basis that we're within the walls of McHale Park and we're testing things out and we're seeing the guys at close quarters, and you know, we're going. Look, it was always going to be a big call. Seeing, we didn't see it really as that big a call. But look, I'm just really happy for Aidan because he sacrificed his normal game for the sake of the team, and it just shows how much a team player he is and how much a leader he is within the group. And when we spoke to him a few weeks about the role, you know, to a second, it was no leave that with me or anything. It was like I'm up for that job. And I think, you know, what you saw today is he learned a lot from the first game, and I think that was, you know, that was understandable. I thought he had a fine game.
Yeah, how much work were you able to do with him? Because it was probably noticeable last week that on the high balls and the one-on-one battle, he was well capable. It was maybe the understanding of what life as a man marker is like that he struggled with. Was that something you were able to look at the video quite quickly and he goes, all right, I need to be a bit quicker off the mark?
It probably is as sounds as simple as that, if not exactly it, but you know, Aidan's an extremely smart footballer. I mean, there's nobody within our squad that watches the tape back as much and, you know, analyses his own performance, looks at where he can go better, where, you know, the team can go better, where they can work on their kickouts and all that sort of stuff, you know. Those guys are part of that decision process, and you know, they have to go out and execute the plan at the end of the day. So it was just, you know, I spoke to him on Saturday or on Monday afternoon and on Monday night, and just around the little things that we could improve on. He was, you know, we were never advertising him there for the all-star full-back role. You know, he was in there to do a job. We understand we were going to lose things out the field with that, but you know, that's what you try and mix up and you try and see if it comes off. And look, we won the game whether it came off or not.
You can't insulate yourself completely from the criticism when it's coming in during the week and the questions that have been raised. You're back at work, you're talking to people, your life is going on. How do you deal with that, with those questions and not doubting yourself and not doubting your own decision making?
I suppose it goes back to what I'm saying. You know, and again, I don't want this to sound some sort of cocky or sort of, you know, we had to back ourselves. We're not in this job to seek approval from people outside. Again, there's an awful lot of analysts, there's an awful lot of journalists around whose job it is to give opinions. But, you know, we've had a focus on what we can control. And we knew we could control our kickouts better, we knew we could control our unforced turnovers better, and that's where our focus had to be. It wasn't out about saying this was right or that was wrong in relation to commentary. We just had to back ourselves, and thankfully that's what we did, both on and off the field.
It is Mayo, so there have been some hairy moments along the way over these 9 games and into a 10th now in the All-Ireland final. One thing that's been striking though is that maybe players who after the league campaign and after the Connacht campaign were struggling for form, for fitness, everybody seems to have been able to work themselves into the championship. Different people stepping up every day. Even today, Jason Doherty, who's a player Mayo supporter, has been probably waiting for that type of performance for 3 or 4 years.
Oh yeah, look, you know, delighted for Jason. Like, you know, he was ballsy about, you know, taking on those frees, taking on a 50. You know, might be putting Killian under a bit of pressure now in the next couple of weeks. But you know, we spoke about, you know, we don't look at it that we're a one man team, or that, you know, people may have said, oh, you take Killian out of the game, you take Aidan out of the game, you take a Lee or something like that. You know, we've looked to spread the workload, and in that we've you know, the likes of Jason stood up today, the likes of Aidan in a new role, Tom Parsons, James Ocheda, you know, really big game, really improved on last week. So, you know, and there are just a few. Throughout the field, we had big games.
You've been very good with your time. Just before I let you go, are you going to come to the game tomorrow and check out Dublin and Tyrone? And also, when you think back to 12 months ago, you had two bites of the cherry then. What sort of lessons have you learned from previous preparation that you can carry into this year?
What have we learned? You know, we lost an All-Ireland final replay by a point, so we weren't off far off. But there will be items that we will look into, say, yeah, if we could have done that a bit better. We've a couple of notes taken on that maybe from last year as well. But they're not necessarily for the airwaves at this moment in time. But you know, I will come here tomorrow because I think we're going just as a I'll be here. In some ways, as a GA fan, and obviously with a Mayo hat on, but I think it's going to be just a massive game tomorrow. You're going to get two brilliant teams, hugely athletic, two contrasting styles in some ways. So, you know, we know that in 3 weeks' time we're going to be up against one almighty battle.
Well done today, Stephen. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Stephen Rochford and Andy Moran, who are now preparing for an All-Ireland Senior Football Final against Dublin in a couple of weeks. It should be a bit of a belter, Dublin going for the three in a row. That's almost it for Off the Ball's post-match podcast from a still warm Croke Park, where the seagulls are getting a bit braver, I might add. When we started recording, they were far away. Now they're swooping down towards the pitch and they're making a bit more noise. So I think now is the time to exit stage left. As always, our GA coverage on News Talk brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. Don't forget to join Off the Ball tomorrow night. That's Monday night from 7 on air for more on the Premier League weekend and indeed all the GA action this week. And don't forget, on Thursday we're live from Galway with a very special roadshow ahead of the All-Ireland hurling final between Waterford and Galway. That promises to be a belter. We'll have a special podcast, by the way, ahead of that game out later in the week, maybe Thursday evening stroke Friday morning. Anyway, from myself, O'Sheen Langan, from Croke Park, it's goodbye. Thank you for listening.